If you can recognize that your opponent is hitting a slice dink, it is essential for you to be leaning in and trying to take the ball out of the air and be aggressive with it. The reason for that is, firstly, spin continuation. So spin continuation means that if you hit a slice to me, that is my top spin, because backspin going this way is top spin going the other way. And if you hit a slice to me out of the air, if I can lean in and attack it out of the air, it hasn't bounced yet, so it hasn't lost its slice. When a slice dink bounces, it loses its slice and it becomes sort of flat in nature. But if it's still out of the air, it has that backspin, so you can hit some nasty out-of-the-air attacks with that shot. And I know that my best backhand flicks or forehand flicks have been hit off of slice dinks out of the air, because it's already got a lot of topspin on the ball for you, so you're just going to apply more topspin. It's going to be very easy, or at least I would say effective, to keep the ball in and still hit it hard, which is, you know, the key to pickleball, keeping it in but still hitting it hard. Okay, guys, we're back with another episode of my show. I'm recording this at my parents' house, and my youngest brother, Jordan, is happens to be 14 years younger than me, and he is walking around, and he might be liable to provide background noise at any moment. So if there's any background noise, I apologize. It's coming from a young, volatile child, and I'm not sure if he can hear me right now, but either way, that's what's going on. So this podcast, we're just going to give you three things that I think that you should try out in rec, because these are three things that I've been trying out in my rec games, and doing them consistently has helped me a lot, especially in tournaments, because I feel like they kind of stand the test of, you know, if you get comfortable with it in rec, you can do it in the tournament. And I found it to be a pretty quick switch. So first thing, holding your dinks in a game, not just in practice, try it out. Hold your dink as long as you can, as long as you possibly feel comfortable. And what I mean by holding it is, the ball's there, you're about to hit the dink, and I want you to hold your paddle right before you make contact as long as you possibly can. And if you're not sure what I mean by holding the dink, then we're going to have a video, a YouTube video on it on my channel, James and I Wish Pickleball. Basically, that just means right before you make contact with the ball, you hold the paddle there as long as you possibly can, and it might feel a little bit awkward at first, but that is what the pros do very often. And I think even just a split second of holding the paddle before you hit the dink makes it a lot tougher for your opponent to read where the ball is going. And I think that's a great way to establish control of the kitchen line, because as we always say, you know, it's not necessarily just about making dinks. You want to make as many dinks as you can. And as you go up in level, you'll notice that the dinking gets more and more consistent and better. But mainly, when you're trying to dink back and forth, you're trying to take control of the kitchen line. You know, it's kind of like a tug of war. And if you can hit an aggressive dink here and there, if you can make a dink bounce deep in the court, that is the best way to control the kitchen line. So I want you to also do this. Try to make your dinks, or at least one, and get comfortable experimenting with how deeply you can make your dinks bounce against your opponent. Because I've been looking at this, I've been teaching a ton of clinics and seeing all the levels and the highs and lows, and I've found that at the higher levels, it is tougher to make a dink bounce past the kitchen line than it is at, say, the 4-0 level, for example. And I know that if I were a 4-0, I would be able to control the kitchen line without necessarily speeding the ball up, because I would be trying to make my dinks bounce as deep as possible. That is the best way to generate pop-ups. So, for example, one way I found that you can make your dinks bounce deeply is if you're playing against somebody that's not comfortable taking the ball out of the backhand side, which is more common than somebody who has a tough time taking the ball out of the air on the forehand side. I would say you can try to move them to their forehand side one time to expose their backhand side a little, and then hit a deep aggressive dink that might actually bounce this far past the kitchen line to their backhand side. If that's the case, then they're going to try to short hop it. Usually they're going to use one hand there, and that is a great way to generate a pop-up, or at the very least, force them to hit a slice dink. We want to try to make our opponents hit slice dinks as much as possible and reach to hit them, because I've found that reaching slice dinks are the most common pop-ups, especially at the lower levels where players are reaching a little more and using their feet a little bit less. So if players are reaching and slicing, right, which means they're reaching over here and they're trying to slice the ball, that means it's your cue to lean in and attack the ball out of the air. So reason number one, if you see your opponent is slicing the ball, and if you don't know how to determine whether or not they are slicing the ball, that means that their paddle face is up and it looks like this or this. So their paddle face is to the moon. And if they were to, let's say, for example, a topspin means their paddle face is closed, slices this way. And if they were to just come straight at it, it'd go to the ceiling. But since they slice it and they sort of chop at it, it goes in. At least that's what they would, you know, be trying to do. So if you can recognize that your opponent is hitting a slice dink, it is essential for you to be leaning in and trying to take the ball out of the air and be aggressive with it. The reason for that is, firstly, spin continuation. So spin continuation means that if you hit a slice to me, that is my topspin, because backspin going this way is topspin going the other way. And if you hit a slice to me out of the air, if I can lean in and attack it out of the air, it hasn't bounced yet, so it hasn't lost its slice. When a slice dink bounces, it loses its slice and it becomes sort of flat in nature. But if it's still out of the air, it has that backspin. So you can hit some nasty out-of-the-air attacks with that shot. And I know that my best backhand flicks or forehand flicks have been hit off of slice dinks out of the air, because it's already got a lot of topspin on the ball for you. So you're just going to apply more topspin, and it's going to be very easy, or at least I would say effective, to keep the ball in and still hit it hard, which is, you know, the key to pickleball, keeping it in but still hitting it hard. So hey guys, before we continue the show, definitely wanted to talk to you guys about the Court Strike pickleball shoes from Selkirk. For me, it's been a game changer. I've been wearing them all the time. They're super light, super breathable, and I felt a big change wearing these shoes as opposed to just wearing my regular tennis shoes or just running shoes, whatever it is. I think wearing pickleball specific shoes, especially the Selkirk pickleball specific shoes, can do a lot for your game. So go to selkirk.com to check them out. That's a big thing. The other reason you want to lean in is because if you aren't going to take the ball out of the air and attack it, if you do have the opportunity to take the ball out of the air and dink it, I would do so. I think that's a huge thing that you notice at the higher levels, players dinking out of the air more often, taking their dinks out of the air and being aggressive with those dinks out of the air. If you can take a dink out of the air and be aggressive with it, I think you should do it, because your opportunity to be aggressive with your dinks and control the kitchen line is, I think, one of the best opportunities, if not the best opportunity, is when you're taking a dink out of the air with slice. Because since it's already slicing, it's easier for you to put topspin on that dink that you're taking out of the air. And if you're taking a dink out of the air, your opponent is not going to be leaning in and getting ready to attack. They're going to be thinking, okay, well, he might speed it up. He might poke it. He's closer to me. I've got less time to react because he's leaning in and taking it out of the air. I'm going to kind of hang back and I'll be like 4 or 5 inches off the kitchen line instead of leaning in and getting ready to attack the dink. And since you are taking your dink out of the air and they're not leaning in getting ready to attack because they're anticipating a potential attack from you, they are a few inches off the line and you have an opportunity to hit an aggressive, deep dink. That's how you take control of the kitchen line. So I would say that's the main thing. I think my favorite place to hit aggressive dinks is the inside foot of the right side player. I think the inside foot of the right side player, if they're a righty, is the best spot to hit aggressive dinks, because it's going to be their backhand in the middle of the court. So when you hit it there, a lot of times you're going over a low net, especially if you're hitting it from the right, you're going over the middle of the net, which is 34 inches high, as opposed to the side of the net, which is 36. And if they do attack it from there, they're attacking it with a backhand from the middle. I've found that attacks from the middle are easier to defend since both players can have a chance to get it. There's less angles if you pop the ball to the middle and if you pop it up to the side. I personally would rather pop the ball up to the middle than to the side. Obviously, you don't want to pop it up at all, but if you do, I think the middle is a better place, a safer place to do so. So those are the keys there. Getting your feet behind the ball when you're trying to hit aggressive dinks. That's another thing. You don't want to be leaning and reaching. You want to try to have your feet be following the ball and you move side to side. Something that helped actually at a clinic that I was teaching recently was just having them all side shuffle before the practice. So instead of doing karaoke or whatever they call that one, or leaning this way or this way, you know, I'm rarely leaning left or right. If you're going to lean, you want to lean in to attack the ball out of the air, but you don't want to be leaning this way to try to attack it. You want to use your feet so that you're in a good position to hit topspin, because it's tough to hit topspin if you're leaning this way. It's a lot easier too if you're up straight with your body, but your legs are bent, you're getting behind the ball, you're in a good athletic base. Okay, What else was I supposed to talk about? Let's check the list. Here's a good one. I want you guys to try this in your next rec game. Make it as obvious as possible and clear as possible that you're going to speed the ball up. Exaggerate it. You watch the pros do this often. On the forehand side, they call it the cobra, where it's like, oh, I'm going to speed it up. And it's just off of a basic dink. And then instead of speeding it up, you hit an aggressive dink. So why would this be effective? I'll tell you. It is my podcast and there's no guest. So this would be effective because if I'm going to speed it up, or if I make it look like I'm going to hit a super aggressive speed up, you might, and I'd say there's a good chance you would, either lean back or take a step back and get ready for some sort of speed up to come. And then if I hit a dink, a deep dink that is, I now have control over the kitchen line and I'm now winning the kitchen line exchange, or winning the dink rally, so to speak. So basically all you're doing by making it look like, oh, I'm going to speed up, you can do some crazy stuff with your hands. You could move your feet a little extra, whatever it is. If you give them a tell that you're going to speed it up and you make it clear, they might back up, and then causing them to back up, it's almost like you said, okay, give me more space for my dink. I want more space for my dink. If you're going to say that, if you do want more space for your dink, make it look like you'll speed it up. And there's a really good chance, especially as you go down a level, that players will lean back and they'll start to not be sure exactly what to do. And a lot of times they'll even move to the side and try to get out of the way, in which case you can just stripe it right through to that spot that they were just at. So for me, and you might notice in the pro game too, if there's ever players that have a lot of time on their dink and it's, you know, a little bit of a softer dink and you choose not to speed it up, at the very least, I'm going to look like I'm going to speed up, or at least I make it look like I'm going to speed it up, so that I have an idea of what you guys are doing and try to get you guys to lean back or so I can maintain control of the kitchen line. If I choose to just slice it and make it clear that I'm not going to speed it up, I'm kind of just saying, okay, I don't want control of the kitchen line. Let's just keep this thing neutral. And that is not what you want to do. You don't want to keep it neutral. You want to always be controlling it. You want to be the one who's hitting more aggressive linear dinks if you have the opportunity to do so. And I think that you give yourself the opportunity to do so by pushing them back. And you push people back by making it look like you're going to speed it up, or being a threat to speed it up. Okay, sip of coffee. The next thing, it's funny. I might have been the first guy, but I was one of the first guys that said, got to hit the serve hard. I said this even before Josh was my producer. I was like, guys, why are we not hitting the serve hard? You know, it's. I know you only get one of them, but it's a pretty big box. You got a lot of space to hit your serve. And people have been hitting the serve harder. But if there were one tip I would give you in your next rec game, I would say miss one serve and miss one return every single rec game and see if you perform better. Now, it might not help you, but it might help you. There are certain players who are not getting enough on their serve or their return because they're afraid to miss them. I would say that, especially if you're returning cross court, because keep in mind, if you return cross court, you have an extra 5 feet of space to work with. And if you return down the line, you have all that because of the geometry of the court, obviously. If you return cross court, you can hit some very hard returns and keep them in. And again, at the 4-0 level, as you go down in level, it is harder for players to get to the kitchen. And I know that if I were a 4-0 and I was playing against the players, other 4-0s that have a tough time getting to the kitchen, I would be making as much use of my serve and return as possible. I would try to hit the return as hard as I comfortably could, still keeping most of, you know, not just most, a high percentage of them in. But I would be okay missing one per game, because since it's so tough for my opponent to get to the kitchen, if the average quality of my return is very high and I'm hitting, you know, of course, maybe I'll miss one here and there, but I'm hitting them hard and deep, it's going to be so tough for them to get into the kitchen. I doubt that they will get into the kitchen. I would normally go cross so that I have that extra space. And, you know, it's not the end of the world either to actually hit a slice return here and there. If you're going to do something funky with it, maybe, you know, to mix up the rhythm. At the pro level, I don't advise slicing the return. You don't see slicing the return really much at all at the pro level outside of a couple players. But as you go down a level, there is a use case for the occasional slice return that can mess with people. But that's kind of subjective. It depends on what player. You know, some players like slice returns hit to them. I love it. Some players don't. So yeah, be aggressive with your serve and return. Try to make stuff happen. Don't just make your serve and return for no reason. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for watching.